I remember the first time I pulled a wilted tomato plant from its pot and realized the soil had turned into a hard gray brick. I had done everything right. I watered it. I gave it sun, but the plants were starving in a prison of spent peat and accumulated salts. It was a wake-up call for my homestead. We often talk about the life of the plant, but we rarely discuss the lifespan of the medium it lives in. If you want to be truly self-reliant, you cannot rely on buying new bags of potting mix every spring. That is expensive, and it creates waste. You have to learn the science of soil fatigue. You need to know why container soil dies and how you can bring it back to life. It is about more than just dirt. It is about understanding the foundation of your food supply. Let us look at how to master the soil cycle. Chapter 1. The Anatomy of Exhaustion. I walked out to my porch last April and saw the telltale signs of a dying container garden. The soil had pulled away from the edges of the plastic pots. There was a white crusty film on the surface. When I tried to water them, the liquid just pooled on top like it was sitting on wax. This is the reality of container gardening that the glossy seed catalogs do not mention. Soil in a pot is a closed system. Unlike the earth in my lower pasture, which has worms and deep mineral cycles, my pots are isolated islands. The scope of the problem starts with the ingredients. Most bagged mixes are heavy in peat moss or coconut coir. These are organic materials. By definition, they are decaying. Over one or two growing seasons, that fluffy structure collapses. The air pockets vanish. Without air, the roots suffocate. This is why your plants might look thirsty, even when the soil is wet. The water is occupying the space where oxygen should be. Safety is a factor here, too. When soil sits in a pot for a long time, it can harbor pathogens. If you had a blight or a fungal issue last year, those spores are still in that dirt. You have to be careful when handling old dry soil. I always wear gloves and sometimes a mask if I am sifting dry mix. You do not want to inhale those dust particles. Also, you must check your local codes if you are disposing of large amounts of soil in urban areas. Some places have rules about soil runoff entering storm drains. To analyze your soil, you need a few simple tools. A hand trowel and a clean tarp are essential. I like to spread the old soil out so I can see the texture. You are looking for fines. These are the tiny dust-like particles that result when organic matter breaks down completely. If your soil looks like fine silt, it has reached the end of its physical lifespan. The first step in checking your soil is the hydration test. I take a handful of dry soil and try to wet it. If the water beads up, it has become hydrophobic. This happens when the organic fibers get too dry and develop a waxy coating. The second step is checking for salt. Those white crusts on your pots are not just hard water. They are concentrated fertilizer salts. Over time, these salts burn the tender root hairs of new seedlings. Why does this matter? It matters because a homestead is only as strong as its inputs. If you are constantly throwing away soil, you are leaking capital. You are also losing the beneficial biology you have worked to build. But you cannot just ignore the degradation. Planting a heavy feeder like a pepper plant in exhausted soil is a recipe for failure. You will spend more on liquid fertilizers trying to fix a structural problem than the plant is actually worth. Checking your soil also involves looking for pests. I look for fungus gnat larvae or vine weevil grubs. If the soil is crawling with the wrong kind of life, it needs a total reset. You have to be the gatekeeper of your containers. You have to decide if the medium is a home or a graveyard. Once you identify that the soil has collapsed, you have to decide if it is worth saving. Most of the time it is, but you have to understand that the dirt is just a physical anchor at this point. The nutrition is gone. The structure is gone. The pH is likely skewed toward the acidic side because of the peat decay. I always tell people to look at their pots at the end of every season. Do not wait for spring to realize your soil is dead. If you leave it to freeze and thaw without intervention, it only gets harder to manage. Taking care of your soil is the ultimate act of stewardship. It is the silent work that happens before the first seed even touches the ground. The soil is a living, breathing thing, and right now your containers are holding their breath. Chapter 2. The Revival Process. I stood over my mixing tub with 20 gallons of old gray soil and a plan. I knew I couldn't just throw this away. To be self-reliant means turning waste into a resource. But to do that safely, I had to address the chemistry and the biology. I had to play scientist in my own backyard. The why here is simple. Restoring soil is cheaper than buying it, and it allows you to customize the mix for your specific climate. If I buy a bag from the store, it is a generic blend. When I restore it, I can make it exactly what my heirloom tomatoes need. It is about taking control of the nutrient density of my food. Safety is paramount during restoration. If I suspect the soil has soil-borne diseases, I use the solarization method. I spread the soil on a black tarp in the heat of the summer and cover it with clear plastic. This cooks the pathogens without killing every single beneficial microbe. If you use an oven to sterilize small batches, do not go above 180 degrees. If you go higher, you can actually create toxic byproducts in the soil. Always do this in a well-ventilated area because it will smell like baked earth. For tools, you will need a pH test kit or the homesteader's shortcut. I use white vinegar and baking soda. I put a bit of soil in 2 cups. I add vinegar to one. If it fizzes, the soil is alkaline. I add water and baking soda to the other. If it fizzes, the soil is acidic. It is not a lab-grade measurement, but it tells me which direction to move. You will also need a sifting screen. I built mine using half-inch hardware cloth stapled to a wooden frame. The first step in the restoration is sifting. I rub the old soil through the screen to remove large root clumps and debris. This aerates the mix instantly. Next, I address the fines problem. Since the old peat has collapsed, I add new structural elements. I like to use perlite or coarse sand. This ensures that even if the organic matter breaks down again, the roots will still have air. Then comes the nutrient recharge. I never use synthetic fertilizers for this. They contribute to the salt problem I mentioned earlier. Instead, I use well-aged compost and worm castings. I follow a ratio of 60% old soil to 40% new organic matter. This provides a slow-release buffet for the plants. Checks and fixes are vital here. After mixing, I do a drainage test. I fill a pot and pour water through it. It should drain out the bottom within 10 seconds. If it sits on top, I need more aeration. If it runs through like a sieve, I need more compost to hold moisture. I also check the pH. Most container vegetables prefer a slightly acidic environment. If my vinegar test showed high acidity, I add a tablespoon of garden lime. If it was too alkaline, I might add some fresh pine needles or a bit of elemental sulfur. You are balancing a scale. Care for your restored soil involves letting it knit together. I do not plant in it immediately. I wet it down and let it sit for 2 weeks. This allows the microbes from the compost to colonize the old soil particles. It wakes the dirt up. It turns it from a sterile medium back into a living ecosystem. You have to be patient. You are not just mixing ingredients, you are brewing a foundation. This process takes physical effort. My back usually aches after sifting 40 pots worth of dirt, but the feeling of seeing that dark, crumbly texture return is worth it. It is the feeling of capability. The earth does not demand much, but it does demand respect for its cycles. Chapter 3. The Long-Term Legacy. I look at my containers now, and I do not see a one-year investment. I see a 10-year cycle. My goal is to never buy another plastic bag of soil as long as I live on this land. To do that, I had to change how I think about the off-season. In the past, I just let my pots sit empty and dry out in the winter wind. That was my biggest mistake. The why behind long-term soil management is about building a legacy of fertility. Every year, I add more worm castings and more organic minerals. My soil actually gets better over time. It becomes more resilient. It holds water better. It produces larger harvests. This is how you move from a hobbyist to a true producer. Safety and long-term storage is about moisture control. If you store soil in bins and it is too wet, it will go anaerobic. It will smell like rotten eggs. This creates a breeding ground for harmful bacteria. Always ensure your storage containers have small air holes, and never store your soil near chemicals or fuel in the garage. Soil is a sponge. It will soak up those fumes and pass them to your plants. The tools for the legacy cycle are simple, but specific. You need a set of covers for your pots. I use burlap or old cedar planks. You also need a dedicated space for your soil bank. This is a large bin where you rotate soil that is resting. I also use a moisture meter to check my dormant pots once a month. The first step in the legacy cycle is crop rotation. Even in pots, you cannot grow the same thing in the same soil year after year. If I had tomatoes in a pot this year, I will put beans in that same soil next year. The beans are nitrogen fixers. They help replenish what the heavy feeding tomatoes took out. This is the first line of defense against soil exhaustion. The second step is the use of pot-sized cover crops. In the late fall, I sow a few crimson clover seeds or winter rye into my containers. Their roots keep the soil structure alive during the winter. They prevent the soil from compacting into that gray brick I saw years ago. In the spring, I simply chop them down and let them decompose right in the pot. Checks and fixes during the dormant season are about hydration. I never let my pots go bone dry. If the microbes die from thirst, you have to start your restoration all over again. I give them a light watering once a month if it has not rained. I want the soil to stay dampish, but not soggy. Care for your soil bank involves adding biochar or rock dust every few years. These are permanent additions. Unlike compost, which disappears as the plants eat it, rock dust stays there. It provides the microminerals that are often missing from bagged mixes. It gives the soil a skeleton. As I stand in my garden, I realize that my pots are no longer just containers. They are small managed prairies. I have some soil that has been in the same pots for 5 years, and it is darker and richer now than the day I bought it. That is the ultimate goal of the homesteader. We do not just use the land, we improve it. When you master the lifespan of your soil, you stop being a consumer and start being a creator. It is a slow process, but it is the most rewarding one. My plants can taste the difference, and I can see it in every harvest. The circle is closed, and the garden is ready for another decade.